really needs to be reminded. We forget little things. We forget some big things because we get caught up in the mess of life. We get caught up in the hurry and the chaos of life. And sometimes crucial things are forgotten, left behind, left on the wayside. Sometimes we need to pause and remember that there are some things that are more important than others. And that's what we get here this morning. We get three crucial reminders from Jude, the brother of James, the slave, the servant of Jesus Christ, reminding us about what happens if we turn away from the truth once delivered to the saints. Join me in Jude verses 5, 6, and 7. He says, "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire." Three crucial reminders. Three examples of different groups of people, individuals who turned away from the truth of God. So there are days like today when we take time to remember what Christ has done for us by giving his life, shedding his blood, so that we would not have to endure the just punishment of our sins, the wrath of God for us. We need this reminder because we want to be encouraged, amen? Believers, we want to be encouraged that in this dark world in which there are chaotic and evil and wicked things happening all around us all the time, and it just seems like everything is falling apart, Christ has the victory over sin, and he has the victory over death, he has the victory over Satan, he has the victory over eternity for those who have placed their faith in him. And so we can sit here this morning with hope. With hope for a future, with hope for today and tomorrow, that no matter how chaotic and sinful and wicked this world gets, Jesus is still King, he is still Savior, and nothing will ever change that. And if our faith is in him alone, we can be sure that he will see us through to the end. Yes, it might be painful, but it will be worth it when we see Christ. It is also a reminder today that we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, that there is a price to pay for sin. And if Christ has not paid, which he has, he's paid for all sins for all time, but if we have not received that forgiveness, if we have not received what he has done for us on our behalf, if we have not placed our faith by submitting to him, placed our faith in him, submitting to him and what he's done for us, then we'll have to pay the price for our sin. And so Jude is reminding his beloved readers who are, he believes, are Christians, but he knows that there are infiltrators, there are spies working their way into the church to try to take them away from the one true gospel delivered unto the saints for all time. And so he says, be careful, remember, because judgment will fall on three different groups of people. Judgment will fall, first of all, in verse 5, on those who do not believe. And he starts right away, I want to remind you. We've already talked a little bit about what that means, remind. We know what it means to be reminded and the need to be reminded. Peter talks about that in 2 Peter as well, if you want to check that out. But he reminds us, believers and defectors, of what the truth is and what the consequences, the just consequences, of rejecting God, rejecting his word, rejecting his Savior is like what will happen for them. And this is very critical and important. We need to hear the truth over and over and over again, because sometimes we can just hear something so much, we can experience something so much, like a wonderful church family, a wonderful Christian family, that we can forget that I need to make sure that I know Jesus. as my Lord and Savior. Not just because my church preaches the gospel, not just because my family are believers, profess to be believers, and it appears by their conduct that they are believers. Am I a believer? It is so crucial that every single one of us, at whatever age we are, maturity level we are, understanding we are, that we know and understand, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus' forgiveness, and to place our faith in him. No one can believe for us. We must know the truth and surrender to him on our own. It is an individual faith as much as it is a community faith. So Jude is reminding, he's reminding Jewish readers here of three critical things that they know from their past, from their history, from biblical history, about the consequences of not believing the gospel. And he says, first of all, that there were Israelites who refused to believe God. They refused to believe in God. What exactly is he reminding them here? He's saying that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. What they refused to believe is that God, whom we now know more specifically by the Spirit, is that Jesus, in the Old Testament, was actually the one leading and guiding and saving a people, the Israelites, out of their time of slavery in Egypt. Jesus, the Lord, Yahweh, Adonai, he is the one leading them out. He is the one who is represented by the cloud, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He's the one who split the sea in half. He is the one who protected them from the Egyptians while they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 and 9, Jesus was there. He was the rock in the wilderness from which the water came from. An illustration that living water, the truth, life comes from Jesus. And the salvation referred to here in Jude is not necessarily a spiritual salvation. The word is not the same word here. It means to be rescued, like God rescued Egypt, or Israel from Egypt through the Red Sea. And it's a foreshadowing of what Christ would do upon the cross, where he would lead a real exodus from Satan's kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of light through his death and resurrection. And there were some who walked through that Red Sea. There were some Israelites who witnessed all 10 of those plagues, who witnessed God at Mount Sinai come down in great fire and give the law to Moses. And they were there and they proclaimed, yes, we will follow the law. We will be God's people. And then they turn around and they worship a golden calf. And then God leads them up ready to take out the promised land. And he sends in 12 spies. 10 of them come back and they're like, we can take, or this is a beautiful land, but we can't take it. There's giants there. There's nothing we can do here. We just might as well go back to Egypt and die as slaves. And God said, none of you will enter into my land, because they refused to believe that the God who could save them from Egypt was the same God who could lead them into conquer the promised land. And so that generation died in the wilderness. Everybody 20 years old and up, except for two men, Joshua and Caleb, who were faithful and said, God can lead us to take this land. Don't you turn back on God. Jude is saying here, look at what happened to them. They did not believe in the God who just rescued them from Egypt, that he could save them and take them into the promised land. And they perished. They were destroyed in that wilderness. Their unbelief led to disobedience, which was punishable by death. An example for us to not turn away from God's word, his promises, his faithfulness in unbelief. Doing so will lead to death. Where else do we go for eternal life? Remember when Jesus was teaching and he said some really hard things, and the Jewish people were like, uh-oh, we can't have anything to do with this. And many of his followers left him, and he turns to his disciples and he says, are you going to leave too? And Peter stands up and he says the wonderful words, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. If we do not believe in the provision for salvation that God has given us in Jesus Christ, there is nowhere else to go. Do not turn away. a lesson for us to consider here as a reminder, excuse me, behind on my slides, in whom or in what are we truly trusting in? Those Israelites and Kadesh Barnea listened to 10 spies who believed in themselves, not in God. So many people in our culture today and in the church today believe in what I can do with my own strength and my own intellect, in my own feelings. That will lead to destruction. Faith in God, belief in God's promises, in His word, in His provision of salvation in Jesus Christ is what leads to the true promised land, what leads to eternal life. If we claim to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and yet we disobey His teachings and commands on purpose and on a regular basis, that is a good reason to doubt that we are saved. Who are you living for? Who are we living for? Myself, what I think makes me feel good, or am I living for God who has saved me from my sin? He saved me from my just punishment for my sin, His wrath. True saving faith is a belief that never gives up because it knows that God is the only one who can save. And once we have that faith in Him, He never lets go of us, and He keeps us hanging on to Him. Our response to these warnings in the Bible, such as these verses we're going to hear this morning, are great indicators of genuine faith. When you hear this response, it should make you think just a little bit, okay, what am I really trusting in? And if you're really trusting in Christ, that will be made evident. But if you're not, if you're like, I'm really scared, I don't know. At this moment, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe what your Bible says, what I'm hearing now, that Jesus died for sinners so that I do not have to pay for my sin. And I believe that, and I want to live that. I surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus, and know for sure today that Jesus is your Savior. Know for sure today that your true belief in Him will lead you to eternal life, because He has secured eternal life for all who will believe in Him. We do not ultimately trust in governments or politicians or economies, jobs, family, friends, or feelings. We trust in them as far as God has allowed us to and called us to according to His word, but that's it. Only Jesus saves. Do not turn away from Christ. Judgment, condemnation, Jude tells us here, falls on those unbelievers, infiltrators, ungodly influencers who do not believe, and those, according to verse 6, who rebel. Look at verse 6. This is kind of interesting. The angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, He, meaning God, has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. We don't have human defectors here. We don't have human rebellious people here. We have angelic rebels. Angelic beings rebelled against God in rebelling against their rightful place in creation. They had a wonderful, enormous privilege of being in the presence of God and worshiping Him and serving Him. And yet they followed a deceiver, Lucifer, whom we know as Satan. They followed him and were cast out of heaven. They gave up being in the presence of God for eternity, serving the one eternal, holy, righteous God. They gave that up to follow Satan in the hopes of maybe possibly overthrowing God and His throne, as if that could ever happen. They left their heavenly home due to their following Lucifer in his ultimate rebellion against God. And then on top of that, they actually give up who they are in order to indulge some sort of desire by becoming human men and procreating with human women, according to what Genesis chapter 6 talks about. Their leaving heaven led to their never having an opportunity to repent and return. And on top of that, they give up who they are, who they were created to be, in order to indulge in sinfulness and to corrupt the sinful human race even further, which is one of the reasons why God had to send that great flood in Genesis chapter 6, because the world was full of violence, and many of those who were responsible for that violence was those who were born of women who had been become pregnant by these angelic beings who somehow became human and able to cause this to happen. They gave up heaven, these angels did, for hell on earth in order to cause more hell on earth. They gave up being servants of a living God to become slaves of a great deceiver, causing chaos and wreckage and ruin in God's image bearers. Jude is writing to Jewish readers who would have already known this, and he warns them by way of reminder that submitting to and following God's plan according to his word and authority is what faithful believers do. And so the question is, are we of those who rebel, or are we of those who have truly submitted to God's plan in our lives? The angels in verse 6 denied that God was their true master and Lord, and they refused to submit to the reason why he created them, to worship and serve him for eternity. Humanity was created to worship and serve him too, and yet we fell in Adam and rebelled against God. And those who claim to know Christ are also called to worship God and serve him. All of humanity is. But only those who truly know him by faith in Christ, know God the Father by faith in Christ, can truly worship him. And this is ultimately God's will and plan for our lives, that we would know him, that we would worship him, and that we would obediently serve him. To know him by faith in Jesus, to worship the Father according to John 4, 23 and 24 in spirit and truth, and to bring him glory, to make him known, to make him famous in everything that we do in our lives. Loving him through obedience to his word. How often did Jesus teach his disciples, if you love me, you will do what I say. You will follow me. John talks about that in his epistles, his letters as well. Loving Jesus means loving one another, and it also means loving the world by being a bold witness for Christ in meeting our needs in a Christ-like way. In today's world, it also means understanding who we are before God. We are humans. We are created in his image. And he has set boundaries for how we are to live. And when we reject that, we are rebelling against God, just like those angels rebelled against God. Do not rebel against who God has made you to be, who he's created you to be, the relationships he's given you to live in a proper and biblical and holy and just way. Submitting to him alone as maker, redeemer, and king. Believers who are his servants because of what he's done for us in Christ. Jude reminds us that judgment falls on those who do not believe, on those who rebel, and finally this morning, on those who practice immorality in their rebellion. Jude 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise, referring back to verse 6, those angels who left heaven, indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire. And they serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Those angels, they are kept even now at this moment in gloomy darkness. They are in Hades. They are chained down and unable to interact with humanity. And eventually they will be cast into the lake of fire, which is talked about in Revelation chapter 20, along with the beast and Satan and all the false people, all the false believers. Throughout time, all the unbelievers throughout time. But they're not the only ones suffering a judgment of eternal fire. Notice in verse 7, there's not much of a break. These two verses are connected because their sin and their judgments are connected. Grievous sin committed by both the fallen angels and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them. They did not sin in the exact same fashion, but they gave up who God created them to be and chased after unnatural, or as it should be maybe brought out, is sinful flesh. Flesh that they were not supposed to be after. Unnatural relations between men and men and women and women. These things were happening that should not have been happening. And God said, no, this is not what I created you for. This is not how you are supposed to be living. These are acts of rebellion against God's created order. And so these cities we read about in Genesis 19, they were destroyed, judged by God, guilty of gross immorality, just like those angels were and judged in Genesis chapter 6, guilty of gross immorality, engaging in unnatural acts. The Bible firmly condemns such acts, as we read about in Leviticus and Romans and Corinthians. We also need to be very clear that any sort of sexual activity outside of marriage between a man and a woman is sin. These are warnings. Stay within your proper boundaries. Follow God. Submit to God. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who tells us what is the best way to live, because he's God and he created us and he created how we're supposed to live. It works when we follow God's way. Do not reject God's path for us. Those who practice such sins are those who are enslaved to them and need to repent of them and seek God's grace and forgiveness, which is available to anyone at any time. All we have to do is receive it. Lord Jesus, I know I need it, and I receive your forgiveness today. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities were judged by God in the fire, so too those fallen angels judged and are awaiting their eternal fire as well. This punishment that they received, it's not just telling us that they were punished, they were judged by God, but that it is a proper punishment. They broke a standard set by God himself, a standard that apparently was accepted by most people living on the earth at that time, at least in the case of verse 7 here. Do not break that standard, because when we break God's standards, his just punishment will come upon us, come upon those who fall away from him. Jesus taught that hell is real and that it was prepared for the fallen angels and Satan, Matthew 25:41, and Jude 6 and 7 just confirm this for us and remind us that human beings were not meant to be there, but it is a place for those who ultimately rebel against Jesus Christ. But there is a way to escape that. It is by placing our full faith and trust in Jesus as given to us according to the Word of God. Three crucial reminders. Are we excusing or overlooking immorality in our lives? I don't know what happens in each home. Even in my home, we're not perfect. Probably watch things we shouldn't watch, listen to things we shouldn't listen to, myself included. We've got to be careful. It is so easy to not just slip, but it's so easy to cause an avalanche of sinful practices that will lead us away from Christ, lead us away into destruction. There is forgiveness there when repentance, when we come to the Lord and say, I've messed up. I need to turn away from this. I need to hate this. Help me to hate this and love you more. God has called us to live in a way that pleases him in holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is the will of God, your sanctification. Abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles, those who do not know God. Self-control given by the Spirit, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. As we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus, he gives us his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into holiness and righteousness. May we heed the warnings of all the Bible, but especially these three crucial reminders here, these warnings. Don't fall into unbelief. Don't fall into unbelieving practices. We do not get to sin just because grace is abundant. We get to not sin because grace is abundant, because of the power of the Spirit and the Word of God alive in us. Three crucial reminders. Do not give in. Do not give up on the Word of God. Do not give up on God's Word. Do not give up on the salvation found in Jesus Christ. Judgment falls on those who do not believe, those who rebel, and those who practice immorality. And there are many people who, because of the unfaithful actions of people who claim to be believers, people who claim to be believers but yet doubt God's truth, and they do not act in such a way that God says that we should act, that causes others to say, wait a minute, I thought that this is what we were supposed to be like. Why aren't you acting like this? And it causes other people to doubt and to lose faith. And we must be very, very careful that we are striving to be as faithful as possible, that we do not cause other people to stumble. But we must also remember we are all redeemed sinners and we're going to stumble and fall. Our faith is not in each other. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, who brings us together and is reworking and reshaping our lives to be more like him every day. Yes, believers, we're going to hurt each other. Yes, believers, we're going to fall. We're going to sin. We need to be there to help catch each other, to forgive each other, to lift each other up, to keep going, and to not give in, and especially to not give in just because someone we looked up to stumbles, because we stumble just as much. This is what Jude is warning us about. Do not turn away from the faith. Trust in Jesus. Cling to him wholeheartedly with all that you have, and he will lead us to that great promised land, our eternal home with him forever.